legally as kids. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, my name is Brand. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care coverage. They're joining MediShare, and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network, too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7, so if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those why did I wait on this things, and if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
A South Korean delegation's in North Korea today for a two-day visit aimed at continuing talks between the two nations and maybe setting the stage for direct talks between North Korea and the United States. At the 90th Annual Academy Awards last night, The Shape of Water takes home Best Picture, also winning an Oscar for Best Directing. Director Guillermo del Toro, the Mexican-born filmmaker, said in his acceptance speech,
"Growing up in Mexico, I thought this could never happen. It happens. Everyone that is dreaming of a parable, of using genre fantasy to tell the stories about the things that are real in the world today, you can do it."
The Shape of Water had been nominated for 13 Oscars, coming away with 4, as it also won Best Original Score and Best Production Design. Bill Cosby will again be in a Pennsylvania courtroom today for a pretrial hearing. He'll be retried on sexual assault charges after the last trial ended in a hung jury last June. And this is USA Radio News.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have Numana. In these uncertain times, become food independent with Numana's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, taste great and last for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to numana.com.
Two sides show up in Oklahoma over the weekend as an Oklahoma group wants to show support of the Confederate flag. And when members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans held the rally in Oklahoma City Saturday in support of the flag, protesters also showed up to the event. The rally supporters said the goal was to pay tribute to the Confederate soldiers and their history. Those who protested argued the flag is a symbol of hate. There was no violence reported and no arrests made. The U.S. State Department approves a possible military sale to Ukraine, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
We're selling Javelin missiles and Javelin command launch units, the latest in a series of moves to help the country defend itself against Russian aggression. The Defense Security Cooperation Agency announced the potential $47 million sale on Thursday after notifying Congress of its approval. Offering assistance to Ukraine as well as pushing back against other Russian moves in Eastern Europe is in line with President Trump's national security strategy. The deal would also provide Ukraine with basic skill trainers from the U.S. and services such as logistics and program support.
And an industry group says the U.S. is poised to dominate the world's oil industry for the next 5 years or more. The International Energy Agency saying that it predicts American producers will supply most of the world's growing demand for oil till at least 2024. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
And with our local weather here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Flemington and the surrounding area, 38 degrees outside right now. Today, partly sunny, high in the mid-40s. A few wind gusts still out there from the other day. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tuesday, increasing clouds, high near 45. Rain likely Tuesday night, then mixing with snow later on in the night, and then snow after midnight. A chance of precip about 70%. So another little winter storm watch here. Wednesday, snow, high near 36. Chance of snow Wednesday night, 50%. And then snow showers on Thursday before 7 a.m. Highs on Thursday, once it clears up, will be in the 40s. Low on the overnight Thursday in the mid-20s. Sunny on Friday and Saturday. Highs around 40. Lows around 28 to 30 degrees at night. And then possibly, at least from this point, chance of rain and snow on Sunday. Slight chance. But otherwise, winter's still hanging on a little bit here. So keep calm. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Your host, Bill Kinslow. I'm chef here at Jake's in Flemington. Almost 27 years now, coming up, and another anniversary. Glad to be here. Hope everybody survived in the Northeast, and, well, most of the country had some kind of snow or rain over this past weekend. And we had a brownout at the restaurant Friday night, so we were unable to serve, unfortunately. And one of the neat things you like to do, of course, this time of year, being in the middle of Lent for the Catholic community, we do a fish fry. And for me, the first restaurant I worked at, of course, we had, it was a Catholic community, and fish fry was every Friday, not just during Lent. One of the early jobs I had as I was progressing from dishwasher to cook, of course, was manning the fry station. And on a Friday night, let me tell you, a lot of breaded haddock went out. And we breaded our own. We did, a little batter pre-wash and then a nice seasoned bread crumb, very fine crumb we use. You can fried fish many, many coatings, which we'll talk about today. And also, well, actually, this week, food holidays. The 9th is crab meat day, and the 12th is Baked Scallops Day, so good week to think about seafood. Anytime is, right? I know summer we tend to sell a little bit more seafood in the restaurant. People looking for a little bit lighter proteins. Quick cooking. Fish is always quick to cook. Although nice and lean, our favorite seasoning for fish seems to be butter and or mayonnaise, right? Got to have it. Makes sense. So the fish fry, I know years ago, frozen fish sticks were made with haddock, then progressed to cod, and now it's pollock and some other kind of white fish. And when you buy the frozen fried product, not to say that it's not any good. The fish is absolutely fresh when it's caught and processed, but you end up paying, even though you're paying less per pound than you would to buy raw fish, you're paying a lot for breadcrumbs or the batter coating, whatever. Now, the frozen product's quick. And also this week is National Frozen Food Day in there somewhere. But, and back when we didn't have access, especially if you weren't near the coast, you didn't always have access to a lot of fresh seafood. You know, shipping wasn't as good, and maybe even demand wasn't there. But nowadays, we can get anything, anywhere, anytime. So no excuses to enjoy some fish. So a fish fry, and what is it exactly? So in the, and it's still a great dish for restaurants or for takeout, because it's still not one of those things people like to do at home. Frying fish, even absolutely fresh fish, you still have oil going into the air. Of course, the steam coming off carries the oil. And you still have, I mean, there are natural oils in fish, and still have a little bit of lingering afterwards. Plus, you know, it's a little bit of work getting everything coated, keeping the temperature right. If you have a deep fryer with a thermostat on it, it's a little bit easier. And deep frying, really, again, for restaurants, it's very fast cooking, very good. And if you fry right, it's not unhealthy. If you fry at the wrong temperature, of course, you have your greasy food, too much oil absorption. And if you fry too hot, burns the outside and the inside doesn't get cooked. What you're doing when you fry something is actually steaming it inside a crust. If you think of it that way, it sounds a little bit better, right? So frying at home, one of the old school appliances that would work for this is a electric frying pan, because it has a thermostat on it. And also, you don't have the open flame. You don't worry about oil boiling over and catching on fire. Like all the pictures of fried turkeys, right? And invariably, somebody overflows and sets on fire. If you are frying in an open pot, just keep the oil level low, halfway up the pot. And, of course, you'll need a thermometer. And you're constantly fiddling with the burners there. A gas burner, of course, is easier to keep maintaining the temperature. So a couple of things. Maintain the temperature, and then don't fry too much at one time. If you're in an electric frying pan, of course, shallow frying, you will have to turn things, which isn't bad. You know, fried chicken with the open pan is actually better. You get a nice, once you turn it, that you get a nice crispy crust on things. And, you know, you need to strain the oil afterwards. If you're using it, you can't use it too many times. If you haven't burned anything in it, you may get another use out of it. We like to fry in canola oil, something flavorless, so you can just taste the product. And besides the fish, of course, there's what you coat it with. Whether it's breadcrumbs, whether it's cornmeal, a wet batter, tempura, many ways to get that crispy coating. And I think you know, the crunch is nice, the flavor is good, especially with the you know, the tender fish or seafood. You don't wanna call nobody else. There's a technique called oven frying, which you kind of do, I guess, if you're using frozen product, putting on a sheet pan and in a hot oven. But you can do that with fresh product, too, that you coat yourself. We'll go through that procedure. It was developed, I think, back in the 40s, 50s, maybe, I think, by a home economist. So you have your fish that's coated, and then very, very hot oven, 500 degrees. You got to crank it up all the way. Even though you would normally deep fry it 350, 360 degrees, when you're baking things, you're at 425 to get a nice browning. But oven frying, you want that quick recovery time. And that's what's going to give you that nice brown coating. I've done it with thick, say, veal chops or pork chops, where you coat them with your flour, egg, and breadcrumbs. You have to, of course, put a little bit of melted butter on the pan and drizzle a little bit over top so you get that coloring and that browning. But very, very hot oven. Done it with lamb chops, Parmesan fried lamb chops. The hot, hot oven, you're going to get a nice seal on that coating, and you actually be able to turn the product over if you need to. Although the original technique, the best way is to use a little rack on your sheet pan so it really doesn't even contact. That's one way of doing it. And when you have your fish coated, you need to use a, well, now we have the vegetable sprays, or else you could use a brush them with some melted butter. Butter is good, but the oil is fine. You just want to brown it up a little bit. So if you're doing this, so much to talk about. We've got the coating to consider, what type of fish to consider, and also today we, if we can, we'll just address a little bit of a couple of crab meat and scallop things. A couple of ideas for that. We've got to run for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table to talk about our fish fry at Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's Table, and we're going to start our Friday fish fry, or any day, but Friday seems to be good. I like, still is always a good meal. So we have to coat, well, first of all, select the fish. So normally, my favorite is haddock. That was kind of early on. That's what we used at the fireside. We had, actually with the skin on, nice, you get a nice big piece of fried fish, nice clean oil on a Friday night, and used to come out just, you know, not really that brown, really nice and light golden colored. Cod works, although cod can get very thick. Sometimes we'll cut it across almost like slicing a London bro, slice on the at an angle, or you could butterfly the thicker pieces, or get scrod, which would be the kind of the smaller version of the daily catch. Fresh tilapia seems to be a go-to fish, not the frozen stuff. You can usually get, it's farm-raised, but If it doesn't say previously frozen, that's the one you want. Not a lot of flavor to it, but decent texture, and it'll do in a pinch. Pollock, or any of the ground fish, pollock, hake, kind of. Pollock's a little darker, a little softer, but works very well. Hake might be a little firmer, but still a nice, same type of fish. Poor cod getting fished out in some areas, so we have to watch that. Pike, if you're near lakes, good old walleye pike was always good. Fluke or flounder, very thin. You may not get the browning if you're doing it in the oven, but certainly if you're deep frying or pan frying, fluke is good because it's nice and firm, although it's been a little pricey lately. A black sea bass if you're near the shore. Monkfish medallions if you want to consider something for almost like fish nuggets. You cut the little slices across there. A little bit more handling, but now you're getting a little bit more of the coating, almost like having fried shrimp or scallops. Ocean perch, if you see it. Sometimes that might be previously frozen, but you take the skin off. The skin kind of looks like red snapper. And the fish, again, mild flavor, usually small fillets. When you're doing the oven fry, you're not frying a whole side of fish, a whole big fillet. You want to keep your pieces to, 3 or 4 ounces, 6 ounces maybe at the most. So to coat the fish, and the other question, of course, if you're in the oven, if you're doing the oven fried, you're not going to do a wet batter. You'll just use a crumb coating. So we need to somehow get this fish. You want the fish to be patted dry, obviously. You don't want it too wet. If you're thawing frozen fish, which is fine, it's a good source of protein. Make sure that, because sometimes that can retain a little moisture there. Pat them dry with a paper towel. And then you need some seasoned flour if you're doing what we call the standard breading procedure. So you have flour, and you have some kind of liquid, oftentimes an egg wash, which egg wash would be, for every 2 eggs, add a couple of tablespoons of milk or water. Make sure the eggs are beaten well. You don't want any chunks of the white in there. Make sure they're nice and well mixed up. A lot of places use buttermilk. Buttermilk's got that nice little acid tang to it, and also ends up being a little bit thicker. Regular milk is fine. The thing with coating on the outside, especially if you're doing a batter, is not to have too much egg in there, because the fat will not crisp up as much as protein. Some people like to even use egg whites instead of the yolk. Really get a nice crispy coating on a batter fried. But for breaded, so we have seasoned flour. I always like to season the flour because that's going right next to the product. And the restaurant, we use our all-purpose Cajun seasoning, not so much for spice, but it's got everything in it. It's got the salt, the pepper, paprika, onion and garlic granulated. Yes, a little bit of hot pepper, but not too bad. You might like an Old Bay, if you like that kind of flavor, like a Maryland style. At the very least, you would want some salt and pepper and a little paprika. If you like your onion and garlic powder, then that's good. I don't use the salts. I like the granulated actually is the best, or the powder. So this would be your dredging flour. Then you have your egg wash, and then your crumbs. Here again, the Italian style are nice if you like that flavor. If you're oven frying, possibly the herbs might burn a little bit too much. Panko is beautiful. Kind of not too coarse, but a nice panko crumb. Give you a nice crispy coating. If you're using cornmeal, oftentimes we'll stretch that out. We won't use pure cornmeal. That's a little bit over the top with crunch. Mix it with some flour. And when you're breading, of course, now you're dredging the fish in flour and then dipping it in your egg or milk mixture, buttermilk, and then coating it with your crumbs. You could use a fine, dry breadcrumb. I would not use fresh breadcrumbs for this. You'd want a dry crumb. Some people might even want to crush up a non-sugar cereal, cornflakes. if you don't have any crumbs, you do a fine coating of those. We've done mixed nuts in there, if you like, you know, almonds or walnuts, macadamias. You could coat fish with that if you like that kind of flavor. But you want the product now, after it's breaded and coated, you want to rest it on some wax paper. And you're going to want to let it sit for a few minutes. And then you may go back and recrumb the fish a little bit. You want a good coating on the outside. Now, your oven's at 500 degrees. You have a sheet pan, something a little thicker than a cookie sheet. But you want to get that heat transferred through. Now, again, two ways. You could do it on a rack, spray the fish all over with some vegetable oil, and set the fish on a rack in the sheet pan. That'll allow the hot air to circulate. Another way, if your fillets are a little bit thicker, and you can turn them, you'd have to use oil or butter, clarified butter, on the tray, and then set your fillets on that, and then dab a little bit over the top, whether you're spraying or whether you're using a brush, and right into the 500-degree oven, top shelf, get that maximum benefit of the heat rising. And for every inch of fish, it's about 10 minutes. What you do is check it after a few minutes, again, depending on how well your oven works. But the fish that's in contact with the pan, the bottom of the fish, if you're using that method, should start to brown. You should be able to, with a spatula, flip the fish over. Otherwise, you could leave it as it is, and you're going to bake it until the fish flakes easily. The coating should be brown, light brown. It's not really going to burn in that 10 or 12 minutes. And that's it. And then if you're doing fries, sometimes if you have oven-fried potato wedges are good, anything like that, your accompaniments. We got a couple of sauces for you, too, the standard sauces. So that's one way of oven frying. Now, deep frying or pan frying is another way. You don't have to, it's almost like sauteing. You don't have to use a ton of oil. If I was doing that with the fish, I would make a flour mix a little bit differently. It's almost, you can call it, actually if you wanted to buy some, you could find what's called clam fry mix up in New England. Now, to make this, you've got some corn flour in there, not cornmeal necessarily. Cornmeal is a little bit too coarse. We like to find corn flour, and now with masa being available for making tortillas around, you know, a little more available, it's easy to find the corn flour. So you're going to mix 2 cups of flour, regular all-purpose flour, and 1.5 cups of corn flour. Corn has that golden, a little more golden color. It's repels the fat a little bit better. Corn starch would work if you need to. I used to do that for coating things like calamari or shrimp. Again, the corn flour kind of repels the fat a little bit better, a little crisper. So 1.5 cups of corn flour, 2 cups of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of dry mustard, the mustard powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, and about 1/8, just a small amount of cayenne, red pepper. Or if you don't want a cayenne, you could use a mild paprika. You could use white pepper if you like. But mix this well. And this is your standard New England style, where you have the fish dipped in either buttermilk or milk, usually buttermilk. At the restaurant, sometimes I'll even make what's called a pre-wash. I'll make a very, very light batter, just with egg and milk and a little bit of flour, not thick, almost thin like a crepe batter. Just something so the flour mix is going to adhere to the fish. You could do the flour and egg wash and then into this flour, your seasoned regular flour, and then into this flour mix with the corn flour. We've done that for pan frying. And with thin fillets, it works very well. So if you have thin scrod or flounder or something like that, or a gray sole or lemon sole, pan frying would be the best way. You're going to get a nice brown crust and doesn't take long to cook. Then you can do it in batches. When you're doing the frying of that, of course, canola oil is good, olive oil is good, clarified butter is really nice, but oftentimes we'll use a mix of clarified butter and canola oil, so it's not as rich and as costly as using just butter. And your smoke point is fairly high, so you're not burning things. Don't use whole butter because the milk solids in there will burn well before your fish does. But pan frying for thin fillets works very well. The crust, now you've got more of a floury crust. It almost ends up being like as if you had batter fried something. Very nice crust. You don't get as much absorption of the oils as you do maybe with breadcrumbs. But, of course, that oil that you fry it in or the butter, I mean, that's all part of the flavor.
There's peace and truth.
So you have your coating. And whether you're pan frying, deep frying, or oven frying, this is a meal that can be ready pretty quickly. Now, your potatoes, if you're doing fried potatoes, that might take a little bit more. If you're doing the fresh French fries, of course, you double fry them. One of the best ways is just a roasted, as long as you have the oven on, right? You're getting the oven warmed up. Some roasted potato wedges work very well. Toss them with oil, salt, and pepper, maybe a little paprika. You have them laid out in one layer on your sheet pan again. And the oven, you know, 450, 425 is very good for those. You end up with some nice crispy potatoes. We used to make one, I guess you could probably call it almost a confit potato. One restaurant I worked at, the owner called them Italian baked potatoes, and used a lot of oil, but you could reuse the oil. But you have your potato wedges, and we used to toss them with a nice seasoning mix, you know, at least again, salt, pepper, a little garlic or onion, paprika, and put them in a deeper baking dish, metal. We actually use what we call a hotel pan, stainless steel, so it transfers the heat very quickly. And use olive oil. It doesn't have to be virgin, just a regular pomace oil. And you're actually covering the potatoes with oil, just like you would duck legs or chicken legs if you're making what's called a confit. Confit you cook very slowly in the oil. This, however, goes into that hot oven, 450 degrees. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I got all this potatoes sitting in oil, and it's going to be all greasy. And really, you're baking it, you know, 20, 30 minutes. You check it. Of course, that oil now in the oven is going to come to very high temperature. So what you're doing is on the way up, as that oil's cooking, you're actually cooking the potato. And then as the temperature rises, it's browning the outside. And you end up with some nice, unique kind of French fries, even though he called them Italian baked potatoes. They were pretty good. And you think about it, when you do a fresh French fry, you normally cook the potatoes at about 325 degrees first. You get the potatoes cooked, and then you spread them out, let them cool off, and then your second fry would be 350 or 360 to get the browning and the crisp exterior. So this kind of does it all in one. Now, again, this oil, you don't really have any burnt vegetables or herbs or anything in there. You can strain the oil, and you've got really a nice flavored oil that you could use again. But, yeah, your wedges work well, or that way if you really want to treat the confit potatoes. Our favorite, though, it seems to be popular in a restaurant, and, of course, I'm from Syracuse, so we do the salt potatoes. And that's kind of, if you think of like a, I guess you want to call them a boiled French fry, if you're thinking about the salt. Salt potatoes come from the brine that they're cooked in. And usually your small new potatoes, eastern potatoes, are best for this, although not always available in too many places besides the Northeast. So a Yukon Gold B-size, smaller potatoes work well. You want the potatoes to be whole. You don't want cut potatoes for this. Now, the salt, if you do these properly, the salt does not get into the potato. Normally, when you're cooking a potato for mashed potatoes, you start with cold water. So you don't seal off the outside. You want the potatoes to heat up slowly. With salt potatoes, you make a brine and bring it to a boil and then drop the potatoes in, and the salt stays all on the outside. When these are done, the potatoes should have a nice white powdery type coating on them from the salt water. And this comes from the cold spring up there near where I grew up. The water was the same salinity as seawater. So if you're near the ocean, you could just boil them in seawater, I guess. But you want that high salinity. So some of the stores up there will sell actually salt potato kit. You have the potatoes, and then you have a bag of salt. You don't want to use iodized salt. We use kosher salt at the restaurant. It's about a cup and a half of kosher salt to 3, maybe 4 quarts of water, and that should handle 5 pounds of potatoes. Sounds like a lot of salt, but the salt does not go into the potato. You make that brine, you get that to a boil. What that does is it raises the boiling point of the water. So you're cooking the potatoes at higher than 212 degrees. So you get a little different texture on the inside. It's not, you're not really baking them, but you're not really boiling them. If you can get that, it's just higher than that standard boiling temperature. 15, 20 minutes, check them with a fork. Make sure they're soft inside and drain them. And, of course, served with melted butter. We use unsalted butter because there's enough. The salt's all on the outside, so the skin of these potatoes has got that nice saltiness that a French fry would have, right? Most places season the fries after they're done. And then you've got this creamy interior. So the salt potatoes, with or without the butter, if you want something with your fish fry that's not fried, that would be the way to go. And certainly easier than dealing with French fries and fried fish.
And as I watch the seedling grow, feel my heart start to overflow.
All right, so our sauces for this, of course, the tartar sauce. We do a remoulade at the restaurant, kind of a white remoulade, not the Creole one. We make one of those too. It's kind of a pink sauce, but tartar sauce and cocktail sauce. 2 standard sauces with this, and you may have other favorites that you like, but these seem to be, and again, you know, it's tradition. Tartar sauce could be as simple as just pickle relish and mayonnaise. Some people like as simple as that. With our remoulade, we put a little Dijon mustard in there and some capers. I like the flavor of the capers in there. What's it? Legal Seafoods, their old tartar sauce recipe. They got a bunch of stuff, but actually, it's pretty good. They'll start with a cup of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of chopped dill pickle, 2 tablespoons of chopped sweet pickles, 2 tablespoons of, they say, minced. I like grated onion just on the box grater, just almost like an onion puree. That way you don't have the big chunks in there. 1/4 teaspoon of pickle juice, tablespoon of minced celery, a tablespoon of minced green pepper. Again, these vegetables might be optional, but this is really, it's a kind of a nice version of tartar sauce. A teaspoon of minced garlic, then they use pepper relish and red pepper relish, a teaspoon of each, a dash of Tabasco, 1/4 teaspoon of vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon of dry mustard, half tablespoon or so of lemon juice, and a little bit of Dijon mustard. Really complex tartar sauce, but it's delicious. So if you have those ingredients, which a lot of people do on hand, and I'd say, you know, if you didn't have any peppers, okay, don't put peppers in, or if you're missing the celery, but just with the dish relishes and the pickles and the fresh vegetables, it's pretty good. Cocktail sauce, and those, many times you buy them, most places will make them with just ketchup and horseradish. And I've always used chili sauce. Again, the fireside, it was half chili sauce, half ketchup. So say you're making a half a cup of each. And that's just your standard red chili sauce. Nothing, not Thai chili, not anything fancy like that. Just standard old red chili sauce. Gives it a lot of texture versus the just with the smooth ketchup. 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, horseradish, 5 teaspoons or so, depending on the strength of it. A dash of Tabasco and 1/4 teaspoon or so of Worcestershire sauce. And that's cocktail sauce. Again, a little more texture to it than just using straight ketchup. But that's what you want. Now, another option, if frying or pan frying doesn't appeal to you or a little bit daunting, oven fry, you know, you don't want to do all the coating. Another standard New England way is with the cracker crumb topping. And I would include in this other things we've done, again, macadamia nuts, like or a curry almond topping. You could do a casino type if you like with the breadcrumbs and, you know, bacon or not bacon, but your green and red peppers. All kinds of oreganata. Again, with a nice crumb topping. And bake your fish with a crispy topping. Now, the cracker topping, the original, I think, probably called for oyster crackers to use. I like to use the, I guess, well, for the brand name would be Ritz, but something, I call them a buttery flavored crackers. Sometimes you can even buy the crumbs. We use the butter crackers at the restaurant. I actually buy Ritz cracker crumbs. I guess they can, from their packing line, the ones that the crackers that break up get crushed into crumbs. So you want those in the, pulse them in your food processor or put them in a freezer bag and bang with the a rolling pin until they get pretty broken up. Now, for one version, you could use a little bit of minced onion and cook those in a little bit of clarified butter, not to brown them, just to get them cooked. Optionally, you could use granulated onion. I like a little granulated onion and garlic in mine. Now, with this, you've got 1.5 pounds of cracker crumbs, and you're going to need a good 2 cups of clarified butter. So that might be, you might have to use like 1.5 pounds of butter to get that much clarified butter. You really want clarified butter. You don't want the milk solids in there. It's worth doing. If you can't have butter, olive oil would work well. But the butter is really what you want. You've got the buttery flavored crackers and then the clarified butter. You want 1/4 cup of chopped parsley, fresh parsley, and a couple of teaspoons. I use basil. You could use thyme. You don't really need to put salt in there because the crackers are salty enough. If you want a little heat, I'll put a dash of cayenne in there just for some little pepper flavor. And you mix these well. You've got a nice buttery topping. Now, this will keep in the refrigerator for quite a while. It'll harden up in the refrigerator because of the butter, but then you can let it sit out or do it quickly in the microwave just to warm it up and be able to use it. But this topping, put on top of fish fillets, bake it in a hot oven. You're going to do, you know, 425 to 450 degrees. And it coats the fish, keeps it from cooking too fast. You've got a nice topping on there. It's going to crisp up. It's going to season the fish. You don't have to worry about seasoning because you've got all that flavor there. And it gives you a nice crunch without frying. Oftentimes when we bake fish like this, we would have maybe some cooked spinach or greens or nice. You could have those cooked and put a bed of the spinach down and maybe drizzle a little bit of butter and white wine on the spinach. You want to, so this will keep the fish moist underneath, and then of course the crumbs are going to brown on top, so you got that nice contrast of textures and flavors there. If you like mushrooms, which I do, I wouldn't put them on raw mushrooms. I would cook the mushrooms first, season them, and you want a lot of the liquid out of the mushrooms. So you're going to saute those first, put down a bed of mushrooms, and then your fish fillets on top, and bake them that way. So again, you've got something moist underneath, you've got flavor, and then your crumb topping, and had a pretty good meal. Nice, little different version of the fish fry. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at Chef Bill's table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table here. So your fish fry or your fish bake, baked fried, and a couple of sauces. Of course, you know, we always like to serve a vegetable slaw or a coleslaw, something tangy. You want something a little acidic. Vegetable slaw is nice. Making, what do you call it, a health slaw. Basically, you do your coleslaw, even some other shredded vegetables in there, and just make a vinegar and sugar. Don't need the mayonnaise. Maybe a touch of an oil if you want some coating in there, a vegetable oil, but really, and try different vinegars. We like, you know, the cider vinegar is good, white vinegar, rice vinegar. If you want a little bit of a change, some seasoned rice vinegar, you could really vary up your slaw. But you want some kind of slaw, right? Something to cut all that... If you're using your mayonnaise sauce, your tartar sauce, or remoulade, and then, of course, your baked or fried fish. Now, the ultimate now, if you want to do everything at once, again, you want to challenge yourself, potato-crusted fish. So you got your potato, becomes your coating, and you've got, you know, your potatoes and your fish together. And originally done in French restaurants, I believe, where chefs would take thin slices of potato, little discs, you'd trim the potato to a uniform size, cut thin discs, and then with clarified butter, put the potatoes on the fish fillet to make it look like fish scales, kind of make a nice rows overlapping there. And the starch from the potatoes and the butter, you know, when it's chilled, would hold it all together. And then, of course, you have to chill it and handle this very carefully. It would be sauteed in some clarified butter to brown the potatoes on the outside, look like fish scales, and then you fillet it inside. Very, very complicated. We did a simpler version of this. Still get requests for it. Used to be on the menu with shredded potatoes. It's almost like making a rusti or a potato cake. And we still do it on request. We used to, actually it started, we always had baked potatoes left, and you know, what are we going to do with these? And we would shred up the peeled baked potatoes just like you would for hash browns for breakfast and put those in a nonstick pan with some butter, a thin layer of them, lay the fish fillet, salmon fillet on top of the potatoes, get them fairly nice and brown on the stovetop, and flip the whole thing over and then finish it in a 500 degree oven. So you've got, it's like a fish hash brown, if you will. And it's a great dish, just, you know, again, for cooking a lot of times nowadays, it just takes a little more time than oftentimes guests want to wait for. And then how many pans can you manage? You need to do these individually. It's tough to do them in a big pan. You need an oven-proof pan. But if there's, you know, making a couple of orders of it, or you could set them up ahead and hold them just fine. But the potatoes kind of protect the fish. You're kind of steaming them again inside that potato crust. A little salt and pepper. Now, we used to make a melted leek cream and broccoli with that. So leeks, have to wash them, thinly slice them. We would braise the leeks in white wine, a little bit of water and salt and pepper until they were very, very soft. And then you have heavy cream, broccoli florets that were blanched. You know, that was, again, instead of the cabbage. And you just reduce the cream with the melted leeks and the broccoli till it slightly thickens. Correct your seasoning. And we would pool the sauce on a plate, arrange the broccoli florets around, and place the potato-crusted fish on top. It would also be good to say, with, you know, say if you wanted to do a cream Napa cabbage with that, julienne the Napa, a little bit of shredded carrot and onion, and braise those and then add some cream. That would bake also, especially for salmon. Salmon and cabbage work well together. That would make a nice base, but these like hash brown fish, if you will, we use the cooked potatoes. Now, if guests order, we use the, you could use raw potatoes if you don't want to bake them and chill them down. Use a russet potato and shred them. What you want to do is wash them a little bit, put them in some cold water, rinse them, and then squeeze them dry. You're getting a little bit of that excess starch off of there. And those work well. It takes, you know, a little bit longer to cook. You want to make sure you don't burn them. But we've used russets. We've used the Yukons are okay, but the russet works best for this. Another option for that, interestingly enough, is a sweet potato crust. That, this one you have to watch a little bit because of the sugar content when you're sautéing the potatoes. You have to make sure they don't brown too quickly. Now, this goes better with a fish, say, mahi-mahi. Fairly firm fish, still tender. You want the color contrast. You don't want to do salmon and sweet potatoes. You got a little bit too much beta carotene work in there, I think. But with the mahi, sweet potatoes, of course, aren't as starchy. You would peel them and shred them. You don't need to rinse them, and they're not going to oxidize either. You brush the fish fillet with a little bit of prepared, you know, say Dijon or your favorite mustard, prepared mustard. Just brush that on the fish so the potatoes will stick to it. So again, you'll start the sweet potatoes in your clarified butter or oil. Layer of those. Put the fish with the mustard side touching the potatoes. So that'd be mustard side down. Get your potatoes started again. You have to watch cooking them because they will kind of stick together, but you don't want them to burn too much, the sweet potatoes. You're going to flip the fish over and then, again, finish it in the oven. Probably won't take quite as long to cook as the salmon, a little bit thinner fillet. And your favorite sauce with sweet potatoes, you could actually, you know, I don't know, a curry cream would go well. You could still do your other melted leeks with that, but you may You may find something else. You might want a mustard sauce to kind of reinforce the mustard flavoring on the mahi, anything like that. But sweet potato or potato crusted, you've got your potatoes and your fish, coated fish all together. So we've covered a lot of territory today, from a simple fish fry to potato-crusted fish, sweet potato-crusted fish, and what to serve with it. And don't forget, again, crab meat and scallops. Scallops and crab meat, both expensive. But sometimes, like with crab meat, for instance, you could do a casino topping for your fish, which would be some... Probably you may or may not want to use the bacon in there. Of course, that's a primary ingredient. But instead of bacon, you use crab meat. You have your minced shallots and green and red peppers, a little bit of garlic. We'd saute those, a little white wine, and then seasoning. You could do an herb mix if you like. A little Italian herb mix is always good in there. And a fair amount of butter, because you're going to put some panko in there, some crumbs, and make this kind of like a seasoned breadcrumb, right? Like you did your crackers. And fold crab meat into that. And you don't have to get the very expensive, jumbo lump or colossal lump for this. You can get regular lump if you want. And blend in the crab meat into the casino topping and put that on maybe a less expensive fish fillet. You really kind of dress it up. So you get your taste of elegance there. You get your flavoring, but not like having a full crab meat dinner. And, of course, crab rolls are always nice. We did them for big game day, crab and avocado sliders. Instead of making a lobster roll, lobsters get kind of pricey in the wintertime. But with a nice lump crab meat, we would season them the same way, a little mayonnaise and minced celery, chopped parsley. We'd do a dash of lemon juice and Old Bay seasoning and blend that very gently with the lump crab, just like you would lobster. Put them on your grilled hot dog bun or make sliders out of them. And we like a little slice of avocado with that too, right? Kind of gild the lily. We've got a dash end of another hour. Have fun with your seafood, with your fish fry, whether you're Catholic or not, whether it's Lent or not. It's always a good meal, right? Well, next week, we got St. Pat's Day coming, so Irish food next week at Chef Bill's Table. See you later.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today is the day the president had wanted the DACA program to end, but Congress has yet to come up with a replacement for the program that protects illegal immigrants brought here as children. Instead, it's tied up in the court system, so people are marching in Washington, D.C. at this hour, advocating for a permanent solution, trying to send a message to lawmakers. They've come from all over the nation to Capitol Hill in support of the DACA program. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, soon to visit with President President Trump at the White House today. He says he'll speak with Trump about going to the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem when it formally opens in May. Netanyahu telling reporters he's grateful for the, in his words, historic decision made by the U.S. to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copay.